Pregnancy is a natural process, so if it's not happening or if it's not sticking, something is missing. After having a family member go through infertility and experiencing a miscarriage myself, I realized how little support and education women have around infertility. I want to change that. I'm Dr. Jane Levesque. I'm a naturopathic doctor and a natural fertility expert. Tune in every Tuesday at 9 a.m. for insightful case studies, expert interviews, and practical tips on how you can optimize fertility naturally. If you've been struggling with infertility, pregnancy loss, women's health issues, or you just want to be proactive and prepare yourself for the next big chapter in your life, this show is for you. Today, I got to sit down with one of my patients, Chantel. When we first met, she had no idea what was going on. She had a hard time conceiving, and turns out she had premature ovarian insufficiency. Today, she's 38 weeks pregnant, and she is joining me to share her story in hopes that it helps you figure out a piece to a puzzle on your fertility journey. I hope you enjoy. Hi, Chantel. Thank you so much for being here today.
I'm happy to be here. Thanks for having me.
You're almost ready to pop.
I am 38 weeks. Yeah.
Yeah. It's exciting.
It's very exciting.
And thank you for being here. Like I was telling you off, I think this is probably one of the most valuable things that I can do for the community in the infertility space. It's very inspiring to see these stories and to hear it from the source itself. And I know, you know, not everybody's willing to share their story. So I appreciate you being on here.
Of course.
And I'd love for you to just tell us, do you remember how we met? Let's start from the beginning.
Scrolling, maybe I was going, like, looking at fertility. Infertility, I guess, would be things. And I think I just came across your profile and just started watching your videos. And I just aligned a lot with what you were saying. It made a lot of sense. It was things that I haven't heard from my doctor or anyone that was helping me with my fertility, I guess, or my team at the time. So I reached out, not really knowing what to expect. And then we met.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we just did.
The rest is history.
Yeah, totally.
Tell me what was going on for you. Why were you reaching out for other help?
So I was reaching out because I had been on the pill for pretty much, I would say, at least 15 years. I was 14 when I started. I had been off it. I had my IUD taken out probably about 2 years before. And then we started trying. And we weren't getting pregnant. I didn't see anything out of the ordinary. I was getting my period. I had really bad night sweats that I had had for probably 10 years. Normal periods, but nothing out of the ordinary, but it wasn't happening. And so we had tried for about 6 months, went to the doctor, was told that unless we tried for a year, there's nothing that she could do for us. And so I just felt like we were at a dead end. And I felt like I was a little bit later in life when I started. I was about 34. Which now I know is not that late in life, but it felt like that from the information I had. So I felt like I didn't want to waste any time. And so I contacted you and then we started working together right away. And there was just red flags all over that I would have never found. Learning how to advocate for myself and asking for what I needed from my doctors. And then, yeah. And then within, I guess it was probably just over a year of us working together, everything kind of fell into place and then we got pregnant. So it was really exciting.
Yeah. Yeah. I remember you were, I tell a lot of people, like I'm in the chats quite a bit. I love the Instagram community and, you know, I have to set my boundaries because I can be in there quite a bit, but you were one of the people that were like, I ran lab work and then you send me lab work and everything came normal. And I was just like, don't do that. I don't read lab work, you know, unless you're my patient. But of course I just took a look at it because I'm like, I can't help not to look at it because I know that there's probably something in there. And the thing that really stood out to me is that high FSH, which I think no one, and I don't remember if the LH was high with it as well. And I remember it was like your naturopath that ran it and they said it was normal. And I just remember being like, what? That's not normal. She can't get pregnant with an FSH of 37 or whatever it was, you know?
It was really high. And I remember the only feedback I got from that, I didn't realize it was high. I had no idea. I had my numbers. And then all she had prescribed was progesterone. And
mm-hmm.
the prescription for that, which I never filled. And I think that's where I was at when I contacted you. Well, first of all, that's outrageous.
Mm-hmm.
Gave me a few quick facts. And I was like, okay, within that little quick message, I got more feedback from you from peeking at that. So that's when I knew. I was like, she knows what she's about and I'm willing to dive in. So let's do it.
Tell me how it was different, how my approach was different than what, and like, how did you know this was the right, besides that little tweak, but obviously, you know, we worked together for a while. It's not just a one and done. It's not just a one appointment. So what was different? How did you know that it was going to work? Did you know it was going to work? Did you have doubts?
I felt like you definitely knew what you were talking about. You had so much information in such a little bit of time. And we didn't start with my fertility, like off the hop either. You started just with like lifestyle, like the little tweaks in our everyday lives. And then when we started making those, then everything else fell into place. My night sweats, I was astounded. I don't remember how long it was, but it wasn't long. And then my night sweats were gone. And I had struggled with that for 10 years and they were extreme. They were probably 20 nights of the month, every single night. I was almost given a prescription for menopausal woman to get rid of it. And they don't even sell it in Canada. I was going to have to go to the US and that's all my... There was no root cause. There was nothing. So just within us starting to work together, we started with just very basic changes in my life. And then just in our lifestyle, our environment, little tweaks. And then as those things started happening, everything else started to change. And what you said should be happening started to happen. And that's when I knew that you were knew what you were doing and that I trusted you completely.
Like it was just easy to trust, for sure.
Totally.
I mean, I think that the testing is always a big eye-opener.
Yeah. Well, and the thing is with testing, you actually gave me feedback. I've had testing and then it goes in and they're like, oh, it's normal. Or, oh, it's a little bit high. Or give it 3 months and we'll see where it's at. And that's, and I had no direction, no feedback, nothing to go off of. Where you, I always had homework, which I appreciated with you, but everything you we did made a difference in the bigger picture, just health-wise.
I loved how, I mean, I think the big shift, I always say, right, like the couple that sits in front of me today is not the same couple that's getting pregnant. And I definitely noticed a big shift in you and your partner as well. And you very much like dragged him on board. You were just like, this is not an option. He's coming on board, whether you like it or not, which sometimes like that, I think that our men don't know how to support us. And so if we just tell them, this is it, you're going to show up on appointments and you're going to do what this lady tells you to do. So then I don't have to tell you what to do. It still works, even though it's not necessarily the way that you might thought. You know, sometimes you're like, but I want to be on the appointments.
Totally. I was like, just show up and listen. And then, but then even he like, and I was so lucky that my partner, I was the one making the food and changes, but he was so supportive and didn't complain. And he was on board, mm-hmm. that, which was, so we did everything mm-hmm. together, which made a big difference. But then he's
for sure
changes too with his sleep and certain things and his weight. And it's, even if he didn't say it off the hop, I knew he was feeling better. He looked better. He knew it was working. And I think that's when he started to trust you more too in the whole process. And then, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's one of my patients just the other day. It's like the husbands are, he told his wife, he's like, it's like you're paying her to say these things to me.
Oh, kind of. I mean, hold on. And then things started to happen. And then he started mm-hmm. talking about it. And then things were getting a lot better. And we were both seeing changes just within both of us.
Yep, for sure. What the transformation from like who you were to like, there's the physical changes, the cleaning up the environment and doing all the detoxes. Any like, I don't know, aha moments or insights for women in terms of like, what is the emotional transformation that you feel like, who did you become in the process?
Right. Yeah. I definitely feel like I can advocate for myself. I was always just always, I don't know, not taught, but not to ask questions and just take what we're told for what it is. And then that's it. And even if you're not getting answers and then it's nothing was happening and I didn't feel confident enough to be like, no, actually I want to dig deeper or I want more labs or can we look into this more? Now I definitely advocate for myself, which is great. I advocate for Lindsay. I'm going to advocate for my children. I feel way more confident knowing that just because I'm given an answer doesn't mean that that's the end of the road, that I can mm-hmm. get another opinion or I can try someone else or I can try to get my own testing and work with a naturopath to get my results. But there is different avenues. And I think we're so conditioned just to think that we're told one answer and we have to take it for what it is. And our hands are tied and it's just like, oh, they know better. Now I know to dig deep and to find and get my own perspectives and information as well. And to get, yeah, just second and third opinions and just keep looking for somebody until they start helping you. Cause I went through, yeah, two naturopaths till I found you. And had I given up?
We had to fight a lot. Yeah. Like we had to fight a lot through the conventional system. You're in a rural part of Canada. And I remember you had some traumatic experiences to just even help you shift the yeah. perspective of like what you're going to be able to get out of them, you know?
Yeah. Totally. And then actually getting feedback. It's like, okay, now we have the results, but I was never given feedback. It was just, oh, it's normal. Or yeah, just come back. We'll just check it again later. And then that was it.
Or we'll do IVF.
Yeah, exactly.
Did they give you an option or did they even say?
Even because it hadn't been a year yet. So they weren't even, she didn't even look at me. she didn't want to, like, there was not even a conversation that was, she was willing to have about it. Like, until a year happened, like, yeah, there was
nothing. Tell me, did you know it was going to happen naturally? Did you know that it was going to happen, period? Doubts, wanting to give up, all that jazz?
Before you?
No, while working together. Because, I mean, it still took you like 13 months to get pregnant, you know? So it's not a couple of months. And even though you're feeling better, there's still
what to expect. And you did explain. And when you would explain why things take long and what stages and how you do it, and we start here and then after this is the next step, things were unfolding as you said they would. And so you were always very clear. You never guaranteed it, which there's no guarantees in anything, but you were very realistic with the positive changes you were seeing in our results. There was indicators along the way, which were always positive, which was reassuring. But you were always very realistic also that this isn't going to happen. This could take a very long time, given my history of being on the pill for as long as I was, the night sweats and things that I had for 10 plus years, that could take longer. And it did. But it's actually funny. And it's very cliche. Everyone says, when you stop trying is when it happens. So we were so exhausted from trying. And so for those 2 months, we just both decided we're just going to take a break and then we'll come back and try again. And it was within that month that we weren't going to try that it happened.
Yeah, because you just kind of got tired of it.
Yeah, and then we just couldn't believe it because we weren't even trying. That was the 1 month that we stopped. But also a big indicator was I know that I wasn't ovulating, which was found in my results. And you found that within my first testing I had done, you knew what it was. And I had never heard of that. I had no idea. And then I knew from learning all the information about ovulation in our bodies and what to look for and what's normal, what's not. I knew when I was ovulating, and I know the exact day that we got pregnant because I had so much insight and just connection with my own body and what was going on and why things were happening. I know the exact day that we conceived, and that's when it happened. So it's pretty crazy.
Yeah. Did you internally know that it was always going to work out?
I had faith because I knew that the changes we were seeing were positive and we were moving forward consistently for the most part. So there was always positive changes. Yeah, there was hiccups along the way, which, I mean, that's to be expected. But the changes, like when my night sweats went away, like for me, I thought I'd have them forever because I had tried so many things. Nobody had any answers. And now they went away, I think, within like 4 or 5 months, maybe 6 months of working with you, not even. And I knew, I'm like, well, if she can do that, like, as in
the miracles are possible.
That was like the bane of my existence. Like I, and my sleeping was so bad. Yeah, just so many, my cortisol was really, really high, lots of inflammation. And even just how I deal with stress in my day to day and how, all of it, just all, all makes a difference for sure.
Yeah. I mean, it's very neat to see the changes, and sometimes I'll go back, to the recording of like the first time we met versus as we are progressing along, because like your energy shifts, and that's how I know we're digging some deeper stuff, because essentially you're getting rid of the pathogen and you're getting rid of the toxin. And now it's your human cells, that are conversing, and there's more glow to you, and the hormones are now functioning and neurotransmitters and all that jazz. I do think I was surprised when you told me you had a hard time advocating for yourself, because when we like first met, you were very like, Lindsay, you're doing this. And so it was almost a surprise that you had a hard time advocating for yourself in this, I guess, authoritative way, where you didn't feel like you had control or you didn't listen. Because, if I had to pick, like, there's couples that I know are going to make it, and not all of them, but there's couples where I look at them and I can say, like, no, these guys can do it. And usually it's a fire, usually it's a belief or it's a faith or it's something that, instead of seeing a hiccup as a hiccup and like, okay, that's it, it's not meant for me, or, seeing it as the end of the road, you're actually just seeing it as a hiccup.
Right.
Oh, it's okay. Do you think that's something that you were always like that? Or is that something that you developed through the process?
Definitely am take charge for sure. Like in my life, like I feel like I can communicate really well. Like I can make it very clear needs and what I'm expecting. Communicating, I'm good. But I think when it came to the doctors, I didn't have enough information and I just took their word for it. I just thought that I could, it's not that I can't trust them. I mean, I trust them, but I just thought I didn't know enough about it. And I was,
it's okay if you don't, because it really depends on the doctor now.
So, like, like what to advocate for, where now I have so much more understanding. And when I see some things that's off, or I feel like it's off, like I can be like, no, like I want to look more into that, or let's find the root cause of that. What's causing that? So I always, and that's what was so frustrating, is that I do feel that I communicate very clearly what my needs are, what I'm expecting. I'm not scared to ask for what I need. But I wasn't getting that. And I felt like I was at a dead end. And just given that we had been trying for 6 months, and I just had a feeling that we weren't going to get anywhere, and nothing was changing. I still had my night sweats. I still wasn't sleeping well. I had lots of inflammation. All of those things were still happening. And I just didn't want to keep trying without any answers and then just waste more time, because there was no goal. Yes, the goal was to get pregnant, but there was no steps
to get totally.
It was like, okay, this month or this week, we're going to focus on that. And I'd start seeing the small changes, and I'm like, okay, it's happening. And then it would be like the next step. And then it just all kind of came together. And I learned so much just about my own body, everything, our environment, all those things. And I think those made all like the little stepping stones to get where we were, and to know normal and what was not normal, feeling wise, like being a 6 and being like, okay, like that's actually not great. When I felt like an 8 when we worked together, and I'm like, I can feel better. And that's what I want to aim for now. So then you make those small changes.
Yeah. And that's your new standard. I do. Like, I think that's one of the reasons we got along so well, because I'm that personality as well. It's like, well, if I haven't figured this out for 10 years, like my hot flashes or whatever, what makes me feel that I'm going to figure it out in the next 6 months? Do you know what I mean? Well, I'm very much, if I have a problem and I haven't been able to solve it for even a year or 6 months, I'm like, I need someone. I need another perspective. I need, you know, I'm in the hamster wheel.
Totally.
And it's so much harder when you're in it to step out and go, well, that's not right. You know, you should stop doing that. It's always harder to reflect on yourself.
Yeah. And I knew that I was willing. I'm very much a person that is willing to do the work also. So I knew that I was like, whatever she's going to tell us to do, like, I'm doing it, and you're doing it.
You're doing it too.
And that's my personality. So I was like, whatever she says, it might be really hard. And there were some stages where it was like, oh man, there were some really big changes. But then when you start to feel better and you see the outcome, it's like, okay, it's working. It's worth it. Mm-hmm. And we're still not perfect, but we've made changes. But I'm always willing, like it's something that I wanted bad enough that I was willing to do whatever you put out for us to do.
Yep. Tell me, because we've talked about some of the changes and you kind of touched upon like environment and this. Are there like 3 or 4 or 5 things that stand out that you're like, this made a big change? And whatever it is, whether it's filtering the water or taking parasite cleanse, whatever, but like in your opinion, what were the 3 to 5 things that were like really big needle movers for you and Lindsay?
Say definitely like eating more vegetables and fiber. Like not that that was ever an issue for us, but we just weren't hitting as much as like I was. When you told us
it makes me so happy when you say that. I'm like, it is. It's so simple, but it's just eating more vegetables and the right kind of vegetables.
I mean, and this much every meal, I'm like, holy shit. Like that, like we have vegetables, but not in that amount or the type. Like our meal planning has changed. We still eat a lot of the same things we ate pretty well before, but now I'm more mindful of that with more fiber and veggies. I think our water as well, that was a big one. Now that we have reverse osmosis, if I taste anything that's not like distilled or that, like I can smell it, I swear. Like now that I'm pregnant. Like,
no, me too.
It's crazy. That was not.
But didn't you also, I remember like your city released a paper on water that there's like known carcinogens in the water now. And I'm like, that's been there for decades. I'm glad you guys are now releasing that. And they released it like 6 months after you got the reverse osmosis or something.
Yeah.
I just remember the timing. I had that.
And it's
happened to a couple in Ohio as well.
Yeah.
Where it was like.
Same as it is now. And I still know people. And now I'm like trying to explain to people. I'm like, you can. Little machine, like it's just under your sink, it's reversed. I was like, I'll give her the information, because I really feel that has made all the difference too.
It's huge. Water. We're 70% water, you know, 60-70% water. It's important.
That was an easy fix for that. Like now we have that. So that was good. And that was one of the easy ones. I'm trying to think now. There were so many little things now, but now we're just kind of used to it. I know my sleep, like once my night sweats went away, my sleep was so much better. The night sweat was huge for me. Like, I'm like, I was like, she can do anything.
Was it, because we talked about exercise routine. I remember that was a big component for you. That was a big shift.
Yeah.
talk about that. And then there's a couple, like the detox, parasite cleansing.
Yes.
I think those were also big move, like shifts for you from what I remember.
Yes. And I know working out, and I'm still kind of the same. I'm much better. But I remember you had said, what if you had to take 2 weeks off from working out?
And you started crying?
I had lost, well, I was heavier most of my life, and I had lost a lot of weight, and that was such a big part of my life, and it still is. But I didn't, it wasn't a healthy relationship. Yeah, I always felt like if I didn't get something in every day, if I wasn't at the gym, like it would haunt me. I couldn't sleep. I couldn't relax. It like, and so when, and then, and I never did stop for the 2 weeks, but as soon as you said that, I saw my reaction, it triggered something. I was like, okay, that is very unhealthy. There's something there that I have to look into. And then I did take a step back. There, I had a few more rest days, and there was a period where it was hard, but I got used to it. And then I started noticing that my body felt better. I wasn't, my cortisol wasn't so high. I was able to stay in bed longer because I wasn't like, well, I'm awake, I'm going to go work out now. Where now I'm like, oh, there's still, I could probably lay here for another hour. And a lot of the times I would fall asleep. My body needed it. So there, I just knew that when you said that, and then my reaction, that was not healthy. Like, it could be worse.
I said that to you because I was told that, yeah. You know, 5-10, whatever, I first started working with my naturopath, and I remember he told me, and I was like, pardon me. You know, I was like, I'll show him I can take a rest. And like after a week of a rest, I was like, what is happening with me? So, yeah.
Absolutely. So that was a big eye opener for me, because I knew that I was obsessed, but when you said that and that was my reaction, it was so extreme. I thought, and then I look back now and I'm like, okay, that was a good indicator. Yeah. That was not a healthy.
The intention behind the exercise really matters. And I think, like, for me, I was punishing myself, you know, it was like, oh, because I ate this, then I need to do that. And it became this. And then there's another part of me when I was lonely. I remember that's just how I would go and feel not lonely and go to the gym. But then it was like 6-7 days a week, I would be breaking down my body just so I could be around people. And I was like, oh, I need to sort some things out, you know? So it always triggers something, but you can do the same exercise with different intention, and how your body responds will be different. So it's powerful.
Well, just letting your body rest. Like, I needed it. And now that I'm 38 weeks, I definitely rest a lot more, but I'm very aware of it.
I hope so. Good.
But I'm very aware of it when I'm like feeling tired, where the old me would be like, nope, I got to go. Like, I'm awake now. I'm going to go get it in, get it over with. Where now I'm like, okay, do I feel tired? Can I fall back asleep? Probably. And then I usually do. And then either I go shorter, or I don't go, or I do more just walking that day and just make sure that I'm getting my steps in. And I haven't died yet, so that's good. So
I saw you lifting some weights while you were pregnant, and that always makes me happy too.
Yes.
Because I think there's a lot of people who are terrified. Like, I have videos of me when I was pregnant, and it's like, oh my gosh, should she be doing that? And it's like, yeah, I did it before I was pregnant. I'm going to do it during pregnancy. I'm going to do it different and less intense. You know, it's lifting weights is good for you.
Totally. And I think in the back of my mind too, that was also not a concern, but I was always like, like, this life that I have now, that I love the gym and I go every day, is going to look different getting pregnant with the baby. It's not that I stopped, but it was always in the back of my mind. And when you would always say, like, do what feels good. If and when you get pregnant, do all the things. You've been doing it before. And I'm astounded. But like, I've still worked out my entire pregnancy, and the amount of things that I can still do and feel confident and comfortable in my body and just listening, it blows me away. Like, and I'm just so grateful, because everyone, I know so many pregnant ladies, and they're like, I wish I could work out. Like, I didn't before, and I wish I would have. You're going to have like the best pregnancy and the best postpartum and birth. And honestly, I felt, I don't know if that's what it is, but I think it is a big part, that I have felt so good during all this pregnancy. I'm not achy at all. I mean, I get a little tired, and there's pressure, and there's the expected things, but as far as like sore backs and not sleeping well and not getting comfortable and all, I haven't had any of that. And I really do think that just even going to the gym and walking and doing my mobility twice a week, 3 times a week, I've kept up with that, and I feel good.
Huge.
I feel like it's
all the other stuff you did too before pregnancy.
Totally.
Do you know what I mean? Like, yeah. Liver is working well, guts are working well, nutrients are there, the body is not. I think we've normalized a lot of issues in pregnancy that are actually signs of poor function, whether it's liver or gut or nutrient deficiencies, right. Or, you know, the system is overburdened because there's so much more that's going on.
Yes.
Again, the same thing. We just kind of get brushed off. It's part of pregnancy. It's totally normal to be swollen all the time. And it's like, no, it's not, you know, or be in pain all the time. It's like, no, it's not.
Yeah, no,
it's not normal.
And that you had said early on too, you said, whatever you are out of a 10 before your baby, you're going to be half. And that always stuck with me after you said that. And I always thought, like, that's true. And not only that, that just all the information that I learned while you're pregnant for the baby, like just that temporary time when they're growing in you, how important it is and how to prepare your body prior. So that was a big motivator too, because it's only temporary right now with the baby, but it's so important to make sure you're getting your nutrients and you're eating well and drinking the water and resting and doing all those things. So my perspective really switched for that too. So that was kind of a fire under me too and a kick in the ass to get all that work done before we got pregnant. And I look back now at 36 when I got pregnant to when I was 26, and I'm way healthier now and way more control and know what I want and very clear of So I'm so grateful for that, because I think that I was older. That's what I thought I was, but I'm in a way better place than I was 10 years ago, that I'm so grateful now that I can make the decision prior to not leave it at 26 or whenever, when I was younger.
Yeah. I don't know if I was always an old soul, but when somebody was like, oh, I wish I was 20. I'm like, I don't. Yeah. Like, I think I really don't. Like, I just remember being a mess and not knowing what I want and being like so many things. Whereas now I'm like, I love the 30s and I hear 40s are great. We have so many more options and opportunities, but yeah.
Awareness and knowing what you want and making decisions. Mm-hmm. For sure.
Talk about the parasite cleansing, because I do think that that was a big needle mover for you as well.
Well, I love that stuff. So I was that protocol. That was really a good experience. I felt it was a good experience because I felt like because we did a lot of work leading up to that. That's why we didn't do it right off the hop. That all the work that I had done prior, I felt good. Like, I know a lot of people have done those parasite cleanses and I know that there's lots of side effects and everyone's different. But I felt really good. I followed the protocol and I did pass quite a few parasites, which was cool. And I just felt a lot better after too. Again, until you feel that well or optimal, I guess, when you feel in a better state, you don't realize how low or how not well you were feeling prior until you have higher standard and do start to feel better.
Yep. And it is crazy.
Well, even talking, like, a majority of my friends and people in my life all have gut issues. They have, like, so many people in my life, and I don't know what that's like, and I'm so grateful for that, but it's so normalized. Like, people go to eat and they're like, oh, we got to go home right away because I'm gonna have to use the bathroom. Like, and I'm like, that's not normal. Like, that is not normal. Something going on. So it's just funny now that I have learned so much that I can see how normalized low standards are for just almost everything health-wise. Now I can see it a mile away and I'm just so grateful, because yes, we got pregnant and that was the goal and I'm grateful for that. But all the other information that we've learned and insight that we've taken out of, like, away from all of this and continue to learn through you is, like, it's amazing. Like, and it's, yeah, I'm just so grateful.
Thank you. I am, like, it brings so much joy to my heart because I'm like, that's how I see the world. Now when I coached gymnastics and I had, 6-year-olds go on the floor to compete. And I'm like, listen, you're not, like, 6-year-old boys, you know, they're just bouncing off the walls. And I'm like, you're not just representing yourself, you're representing me. So you might not want to point your toes and blah, blah, blah. But when you're on that floor, just know that it's me you're representing and I need you to do that. And they would, like, take that as I'm not just going and I'm representing my club, I'm representing my coach. Yeah. And now with my fertility clients, I'm like, hey, you're representing me out there in the world. So when your baby comes out, like, and everybody at the hospital or midwives, wherever you end up having your birth, goes, oh my God, this is the healthiest baby I've seen in the longest time. You go, yeah, I did it, yeah. You know, and, like, take credit for that, because I just, like, every single one of my patients so far, when they message me and they're like, everybody was so, like, in awe of how healthy this baby looks. And I'm like, well, you've done a lot of work and you're taking a lot of supplements and you're doing a lot of stuff. Like, it pays off, and, you know, enjoy that, because it's you earned it. You know, it wasn't given.
Yeah. And I won't.
And I think we've taken health for granted, you know?
100%. And I won't even say that it was, like, easy, like, work, but, like, not that you were hard to work with, but we made a lot of changes. Like, it took a lot. It was a lot of work, but I mean, it's been for the better and I don't regret any of it. But with everything, it just, the normalization of so many things now is just, it's very sad to see, because now I can see it and I know the difference. And I mean, people will make the decisions they want. I try to help if people are willing to listen, sometimes they're not. So it is what it is. But even the knowledge that I've learned, I've just kind of said in passing or in conversations. And I feel like I've taught people things too from learning from you, which is great.
That's it.
I'll tell someone and
the ripple effect.
Totally. And there's always other options. Like, there's so many options that we don't even know exist, just for every healthcare wise, food, like, all the things. I just have to dig and ask and push for more. And it's surprising if you do the work that there are different outcomes and avenues.
Yeah. For sure. It seems silly. Like when you say it, it seems so logical.
Yeah.
But I know that, you know, and to me, I think about like, that's why I share my kids on social media. That's why I love bringing people like yourself on, because it gives like, this is the norm. And this is a pregnant lady that's glowing right. and has zero pain and feels great. And she's 30 weeks pregnant and, you know, got pregnant naturally, did all this stuff. And it's not to say there's time and place for IVF and, you know, ART and whatnot, but you being out in the world and people are like, oh, it's possible. Like I can do that. Yeah, it is. And so it kind of stretches your mind. So then you start asking, because I think a lot of people just don't even know what's possible, or even worse, they don't know what's wrong, because we put trust into this doctor who says everything is fine, but they haven't actually looked at the labs or, you know, looking at the ranges of when that lab was tested.
Yep.
And so you're trusting somebody blindly. And I think we're just at a point where I don't think that's a good idea.
No.
You know, maybe that was a good idea 20 years ago, 30 years ago. But now I'm like, take all your blood work, especially with the AI now. You can literally put your lab work into it and be like, tell me what's wrong.
Yeah. No, that was another thing too. Like just hearing you say that too reminds me of my age. I know a lot of people who just think after 35, well, I just don't think it's in the cards for us. It breaks my heart, because it's not that I fully felt that, but I felt like we were running out of time.
Totally.
I mean, at 36 versus 26, I'm way healthier now than I was then. And even when I would go to the doctors or go to my appointments or try to get blood work, my age was always brought up almost before they even looked at my lab work. They would say, oh, I see you're 35 or 34. Is there a reason you waited so long? Like, it's always out of time. Like, and when I went to that OBGYN, that guy, that doctor, whoever it was, and I went for that
HSG procedure where they did, the saline.
I met him for the first time. He walked into the room, and he's not all of them, but that was just my experience. And I feel bad because I was in such a healthy place when I went in there. So I handled it a lot better had I not been prepared for that. When I walked in, he didn't even introduce himself. He looked at my lab work and he made a comment about my age and how my eggs are probably, the quality has gone down, and why did I wait so long? And he didn't ask my name. He didn't make eye contact with me. And so that broke my heart, because I was in a healthier place where I did cry when I left, but I was able to know that that was a him thing and not a me thing. And that I still knew what I needed to do leaving there, regardless of what he told me. But it was just a stepping stone to get to the next step. But I broke down thinking of the other women who probably go and hear that and then give up because they take his word for it. And they either don't have kids, or they stop trying, or they think it's not in the cards for them when there's so many other options. And that's what made me really sad, because the old me that would have went in there, the outcome of me leaving there, I could see how some people would be like, okay, I was told that this is kind of it. I'm out of time and there's no point. So what are my other options, instead of naturally being able to get pregnant?
That's why you're here.
Yeah.
Honestly, though, that's why, because it is, it's heartbreaking. And there's a part of me that feels like there's a lot of women who don't want to have children anymore. And I do, like, don't get me wrong, I think having kids is not for everyone, but I do think that there's a very large proportion of women now who decide not to have children. And I'm not sure that it's actually their decision, and whether it's because they've been on birth control for 15 or 20 years and the way that their brain has developed has actually changed, and the connection between the ovaries and the brain never happened. Or the level of stress that they have been under, or they went to a doctor that just told them it's never in the cards for you. Because they were, you know, I've had patients who had cancer at a really young age, and they basically said, hey, your chemo is going to wipe out your ovaries and you're going to have to be on an HRT starting at 21. Where in reality, there was things that could be done to, and not for everybody, but what I'm saying is there's so many women are being written off, and some of them I don't think actually realize that it is a decision that they're making in saying, hey, I am going to believe this person and I'm just going to go ahead and have another dream. And I don't, and I know I'm a mother, and so it's hard for me to see if there is another way that you could have the gratification that having children gives you. But it's like, there's nothing like it. And I think that I know of. And I think it's a shame that we don't fight for that enough. And I don't blame the women, but I do think our society has been built, and we've created a bit of a mess around, you know, kind of demoralizing, oh, you're just a stay-at-home mom, or why have kids, build your career. And then why did you wait so long? Well, because I was building my fucking career. You told me to build my career.
thing. And here we are. No, and that's a big part of it too. I completely agree with that. Like, but I also feel like not someone, and I will say also within our first meeting, I felt like you heard me, you saw me, you heard me. I felt that was the first time that I had felt seen and heard by anybody. Yep. And having you in my team. And then I felt like, well, I have you in my back pocket now going to these appointments. So I was so confident.
What did you do?
Yeah. I could go back and tell her and then she'll tell me how to handle that. So I feel like I learned through that. So now I can kind of advocate and kind of know how to get through those steps with you as well, but on my own, just in the moment. So I felt when I felt supported, that made all the difference. I felt way more confident going in and then getting to know and then being like, well, can you, like, I would push more. Right?
Maybe he's the quack.
Totally.
I get called that all the time.
Yeah, I do too. Yeah. And I had support with somebody that I trusted and felt supported by, that I would have had the confidence to push more. And I think that was a big part of it too. And a lot of people don't have that support.
Support is power. Knowledge is power. I think it's, I do think people really underestimate that. Totally. But yeah, it's huge.
Yeah.
Tell us about the pregnancy.
The pregnancy has been good. So yeah, I've been feeling really, really good. I keep saying how fast it's going. So everyone keeps telling me, well, you must be feeling good. Because if it's going quickly, especially at 38 weeks, which it's just flying by. Mm-hmm. Good. I just feel so grateful. I just so happy to be pregnant. I didn't realize how bad, we both actually didn't realize how bad we wanted it till it wasn't happening. And then we started mm-hmm. crying, and then both of us, like, we really knew that we were going to do whatever, we were going to try whatever we could. And yeah. This wasn't the way, then there was other ways, but we were going to give us a solid chance, which we did. And then it happened when we just took a little break. But it was everything after that that I made that possible. Because had I not known that I wasn't ovulating, I would probably still be trying it with no answers.
Yep. Sure. But, you know, I think that's really important. It's as heartbreaking as it is. And this is where I try to position it, you know, because when I see results like yours and being like, she isn't going into menopause, like she's trying to get pregnant. Like, how do I break this news to her? And I think it's very heartbreaking to hear that. And what you did really well is go, okay, is there anything I can do though? You know, because I'm never going to present you with a problem without presenting you with a solution. And then it's like, hey, you weren't aware that you had this giant problem. And there is solutions that are possible, but you're going to have to do a lot if you want to make this happen, you know? Yeah. And so it's pairing it with that. It's tough, but if you're willing to do it, I'm such a believer in the human body. Yeah. And I think, you know, like going through my own motherhood journey and realizing so many things that I wish, like the fact that you're sitting here and telling me that your first pregnancy is going amazing and you're so grateful and everything is going really smoothly makes me so happy, because it's like, that's not the experience for most women in their first pregnancy. That was definitely not my experience. Yeah. And that is why I stepped into the fertility space, because it was like, what the hell? Why didn't anybody tell me that this is going to be the hardest thing my body ever does? Like, I wouldn't have been so nonchalant about, let's just get pregnant and my body will do it, because that was the assumption. Well, my grandma did it and my mom did it. And then I talked to my grandma and it's like, oh, my grandma had a pregnancy loss at 13 weeks that she never taught. Like, that's why my mom is the only child. And then I talked to my mom. She's like, oh yeah, I had a miscarriage. I'm like, so turns out it's been bad for a while, but nobody's talking about it.
I felt like, I just thought you got pregnant 9 months. You
do your yes. Your body knows what to do.
The rules. Then you have the baby and then you, but it's funny you say that. Well, even second pregnancies, third pregnancies, there's quite a few people that are
pregnant. They're all different,
but it's
every single one.
When I talk to you, I almost feel bad when I say how good I feel, because every pregnant person, I swear, is complaining, and I'm not judging, but I'm just so much more grateful after those conversations where I'm like, I don't know what that's like. Like, I feel great. I love being pregnant. I feel like I could be pregnant forever. Maybe not forever, but I'm loving it. The experience, I'm just so grateful. I'm just in awe of what our bodies do and how good I feel and what I'm able to continue to do. And every time I talk to someone, they're always like, oh, and they're even like 2-3 months away. I just want this baby out of me. I'm so tired. I'm sore. And it's all the things. And everyone's experience is different. But I'm just, when I walk away, I'm that much more grateful. And I'm just so happy that I'm, mm-hmm. I don't.
Show them your supplement bill.
Yeah. Well, but it's, if you want the results, you just have to do the work. And that's what it is.
Yes.
100%.
Yeah. Well, I think sometimes this is where you know, when I say like, show them the supplement bill or show them your grocery bill or like, come live with me for a week so you could see the things that I do. So then when people say, oh my God, you feel so amazing. You're so lucky. And it's like, there's no luck. No luck involved. It's actually very strategic. I know exactly what I'm doing. There's intentional, like, this is how the body works. This is what it needs. There's testing, there's supplements, there's food, there's lifestyle. And so it, to me, I'm like, it's fantastic that you're grateful. And I would just really soak that in because you deserve it. You worked so hard for it.
That I'm so lucky. I always try to say I'm so grateful because there is a difference. Because I completely agree. I don't think that it is luck. I think it's what I've done and what I'm doing. And I am grateful. So I always try to use that word because I'm just so happy and grateful and blessed and excited.
All the things. Hashtag blessed, you know. Tell me, are you ready for the baby to come?
Yes. So we did buy a house like a week ago.
That's amazing. So,
and I'm actually at the end of this month, like I'm hoping, I'm slowly actually moving my spa into the house to be working from home as well.
Great.
So that is the, so we have that coming up next. I have about a week and a half left at work. I work for myself, so I'm really lucky that I'm only working half days. I can make that all work. And then once I'm going to work from home, I'll go back very part-time. But it'll be nice that I'll be here. So I'll have a lot of flexibility. So yeah, so lots. And then we have to sell our other house. So there's lots happening, but they're all the good things, all the things we want. So again, I'm really careful not, I don't want to have a pity party at 38 weeks moving. I'm just so grateful again that all of our dreams are true. And it's all nursery now, and we weren't going to have one before. Now we have one. It's all ready. So I'm just, all the good things that we've ever wanted are happening for us. So we're just feeling really, really grateful.
That's it. Baby makes you make decisions very quickly.
Yes. Yeah.
I find like I made a lot of decisions when I was like, I don't mind doing this work. And it's like, no, I hate it. I'm never coming back to this clinic. Like it was literally, I don't mind it. I got pregnant and within that 6 weeks, I'm like, I got to get out. Like, I know what I need to do. I know how I need to set up my house. I know how I need to set up. And it's just that maternal instinct. I don't know if it's, you just have the confidence to finally say the things that you were feeling. Right?
Too, when you start to see the bigger picture and what you want.
Yes.
On it.
And what's actually important.
Totally. Yeah. Like even poor Lindsay too. He's also a carpenter. So he's done a ton of work to the house. He's working really hard. And I'm so grateful. He's done so much. Like we wouldn't be where we are without him at all. And it's funny because my nesting is so strong, but then we're also moving. So we're purging. So yesterday I asked him to carry a box for me. Poor Lindsay, we were 2 hours. We cleared out all like 8 totes, got everything done. And so I'm purging like crazy. We had a storage unit. I can't believe what we've held on to for 8 years. And we paid so much to keep it. And I looked at it and it's all shit. Like it's all stuff we
don't know.
And then I'm thinking of the baby and I'm like, the baby's, and then there's going to be so much more. So we have just been purging. So my nesting has really come in handy for moving actually, because I'm getting tons done, which is good.
I know. Yeah. It's, you're making room for baby physically and then, you know, mentally, emotionally. And I do find some couples like, you need to start making that room for baby before the baby comes.
Totally.
You know, and for some people, I mean, there's always a layer when you're pregnant.
Because
you're just like, I need to set up the room and I need to get out rid of this. And, you know, I don't know what my schedule is going to be like.
Yeah.
Once I give birth or how I'm going to be. So.
Yeah. So that's actually worked in my favor, the nesting. So I'm getting lots done. Purging, like we got rid of so much stuff. I'm so happy. I probably wouldn't have got rid of half of it had this not happened. So it's great.
That is good. Yeah, that's it. Holding on to shit. It's like, we have so much stuff. I hate it. And it's always like, stop buying things. Stop. Yeah. Enough. You know, there's enough stuff, enough plastic in the world. I want less.
Totally. I was going to have a garage sale and then I couldn't sleep one night and I started just putting things in a donation pile. Then it just all ended up there and I was like, perfect. Move it out. And it was done.
Good. Tell me any advice that you have for, as we kind of wrap this up, any advice that you have for women listening?
Say if you're not.
We're struggling with infertility. Yeah. We're thinking about preparing, you know.
Like if you don't feel like you have someone supporting you or feeling heard, seen, all the things, then keep looking because you will find it. And I feel like once you have the support and have guidance that you can make the changes needed. And there are lots of options. Maybe they weren't for me, but there's IVF, like you said, IUI, there's tons of options, but finding someone who sees you and hears you for me was the biggest thing that I just felt like that gave me so much hope, where before I would walk in and I was just a number and I was just another patient. And I just was, everyone was blasé. Like there was just no one invested that wanted to get me to the root of anything as much as I did. And until I met you, you wanted it as much, if not more than I did. But
sometimes I'm like, I feel like I have to believe in my couples more, especially if they've been struggling for a really long time. I'm like, I am going to be the beacon of light for you because, like, who else, you know, if not me?
And so I just give up hope when they go to those appointments and get the news that I got that, oh, it's going to be too late, or you shouldn't have waited so long, or keep
shaming you. God, that's terrible. Like, I'm not laughing, but I'm like, how is that possible? Like, how is that possible?
Is that even, and I'm not the only one. And that's the sad part, is I know he probably treats all his patients like
that. And you're not even that old, is what I'm saying. Yeah. Like 34, 35. Okay, 40, you're walking in. That's a 5 years difference. Okay. But 34, you know.
On my age, and that's the he didn't even introduce himself. Oh, 35. I would think I was 35 at that time, or 36. That's what he started with. And I just know that there's so many other women in that situation that it happens to, and they give up because they don't think that there is more options. And which just breaks my heart, because like you said, being a mother, I know I want it so bad. And every mom I talk to says the same thing. They're like, it's just a love that you just didn't even know was possible. You have all this love. You don't even know what to do with it. Like and until you experience it, you can talk about it all day, but until it happens, and it makes me sad that some don't think that that's in the cards for them. And they just, not that they give up, they just don't, they feel helpless. They don't feel like there is hope for them. So to kind of protect themselves, they're probably like, okay, and then it's just not in the cards. And they'll focus on something else and try to make that the thing that makes them happy. And a lot of the times it's not, or they're looking for happiness in other places when maybe if they would have tried 2 or 3 months with a practitioner like you or a naturopath and did some testing, that they'd be in a completely different situation.
Sure. Yeah. I've said this a couple of times, because I got off, I had a podcast with my mentor, Dr. Leah Hitchman, and she's been treating patients for basically 30 years, but like as a naturopath, probably 25, 26. And I'm like, I know you've seen some magic, you know, like tell me about the magic and why do some people experience the magic while others don't? And I mean, she sees cases where I think the oldest case she helped was 55. I can't remember if it was like a donor egg or not. It was definitely, I think it was a donor egg, but 49 natural. And I'm just like, God, that's crazy. You know, like let's stretch some minds, because here you are as a 35-year-old being told that, sorry, you have no chance. And then there's a 49-year-old conceiving naturally, healthy baby, you know, healthy mom, everything went really smoothly. Because you don't just drop her as soon as she gets pregnant. You actually watch that pregnancy. And she, you know, in her ways that she talks, is just like, well, it just depends if the person believes in magic or not. I'm like, God, yeah, that's amazing.
I've seen babies with 45-year-olds having babies that are the healthiest babies you've ever seen, because they themselves are healthy.
You have a lot more resources and you've taken a lot more time and all that stuff versus sometimes, you know, at 26, maybe the egg quality is on your side, but oh, I don't remember when I drank last, or did I take my prenatal, or no.
I was like prioritizing then. I wasn't prioritizing then what I am now, for sure, in my life. So I'm at a place where I'm so much more grateful, and even making decisions, even as a mom going forward, will be how I raise my children, decisions that I make, like all that stuff. Like it's all, I look back.
Well, you're already making them.
Yeah.
You know, like you're already making, hey, I want to work from home, because, hey, if a patient cancels or your client cancels, guess what? You can like go have lunch with your baby.
And I can be here. The baby's sleeping. Baby wakes up. Hold on. I'll be right back. Go grab the baby. Like it's going to be.
Yeah. There's a lot of pros and cons, and I've done it, but you know, you usually still need some help because you can't like completely focus, but it's, oh my God, I could breastfeed instead of pump in between my calls, and I can still get that skin to skin contact. And because, you know, I love running my business, and I couldn't envision myself just being at home with the baby. And so it's like, how do I make this work for myself? That's fair to me. That's fair to the baby, that, you know, there's no right answer there.
Yeah. Being available for their wait times and stuff and being around more. And yeah, you make your own decisions. So it's great.
Yep. Thank you, Chantel, for being here.
Cool.
The ripple effect is amazing. I honestly, like I said, when I get feedback, when I get some of these podcasts out, it's always like, this was so inspiring. This was so helpful, because nobody can tell your story better than you. And I think just everything that you shared has been really valuable. And I thank you for being on here. And I'm so proud of you. And I'm so grateful that, you know, you trusted me and you believed, because it's like, I presented your case at ECO. I don't know if I told you that. Cool. And when I'm like, you know, here's the couple and they're pregnant and everyone always claps. And I'm like, that's weird, because I don't think of like, oh, I accomplished it. I'm like, yeah, clap for them. They did it. They did it, you know? And I'm really grateful when couples, let me take them on this journey, because it is a tough one.
No, but I appreciate you. Thank you. Because without you, I know for a fact we wouldn't be pregnant and we'd be looking at a whole different outcome. We wouldn't be in this house. I wouldn't be nesting. I wouldn't be
nesting. Yeah.
And I continue to learn from you. I'll follow you, come in the calls once in a while. I actually haven't been on calls, which is great because everything's been going well.
Everything is good. Yeah. If everything's going good, we don't want to hear from you.
More valuable. We can't thank you enough, because without you, I know for a fact we wouldn't be here.
Thank you. That means the world. Thanks, Chantel.
Thank you so much.
You'll have to send me pictures of your baby, though, when the baby's here, okay?
Absolutely. Okay. And my placenta. I'll send that.
And please, I do want to see that, because one of my patients that I worked with, it's like we got her pregnant really quickly the first time because she was just missing a few things. And that placenta was like almost dry. And then the second time, because she was like already struggling and she just wanted to get pregnant. And the second time we did the prep work, we did all the detoxing, we did that. And when the placenta came out, she was in shock because she was just like, I didn't realize how bad her other placenta looked in comparison because of this. It's a big, beautiful organ and it was just pumping full of blood. And she was like, I should have encapsulated that. Like she didn't even think about it because last time it wasn't as good. So I do appreciate a good placenta picture. So
lady of mine, the appointment is made. So I'm going to be taking that also.
You should. But, that's it. You're taking so many good stuff. You have to.
Also, I'll send you two, one of the placenta and then one of the baby. Or two.
Please. Yes. Okay. Next to each other.
Yeah.
No, thanks so much, Chantel.
Thank you so much for listening. To read the full show notes of this episode, including summary, timestamps, guest quotes, and any resources that were mentioned on the episode, visit www.drjanelevesque.com/podcast. And if you're getting value from these episodes, I'd love it if you took 2 minutes to share it with a friend, rate, and leave me a review at www.ratethispodcast.com/Dr. Jane. The reviews will help with the discoverability of the show. And who knows, I might share your review on my next episode. Thank you so much for tuning in, and let's make your fertility journey your healing journey.